that love that we witnessed with each other, the unity that we had within this church, is a miracle of God. It is His blessing. It is His blessing to see each and every single one of you on this Sunday afternoon. It is a miracle to see the little ones running around happy with their innocence. And it is a blessing to see their love and to see them and the future that we are leaving behind. And I want to say to each and every single one of you that just keep pushing forward. Just like every single one of us up here who is coming, saying something. That is God speaking to us every single day. And we will not ignore Him anymore. We are going to listen to the Word of God. Because He is the Almighty God. And we have to accept when we are wrong. And we have to let it go. Because we have to appreciate that the ones who tell us something are here because they love us. And they are put here because God put them here. And I just want to say to each and every single one of you guys that I love you. I love you. Thank you.
Do you want to give a little testimony, Sarah? I think, the word of the Lord comes and it says He's going to do something. And then there's the battle, right? Then it's like what Deb said. You think it's going to turn out this way, but then God has to do some miracles in the way. So you want to testify a little bit? If you don't, that's fine. But
about what?
About the house.
Oh, our house?
Yeah. God had given you a prophecy that you would have a place that would have a music room. And that you would be creating music in that room that would be on the cutting edge. And that you were going to have recordings coming out of the songs that the Lord was going to give you in that music room, if I remember the prophecy right. Okay.
We found a house by accident, and it had a music room. It was already set up for a music room. And we were supposed to close 2 weeks ago, and everything fell apart 2 days before. The people that were going to be buying our house.
2 days before. 2 days.
2 days before, yeah. And the people that were buying our house on Riverbend lost their financing. Some things came up, and it's always 2 days before. And I was just crushed and crying. But God reminded me that, no, that house is your house. And we fought, my boss fought, people just came around us, and God made a miracle happen, and we're closing on Friday, and it's a miracle.
Awesome. So if He's promised you something, if that prophetic word, like Jeff prophesied, that you've got a prophetic word about who you are and what God has spoken over you, and sometimes we think it's just not going to be a battle, but it is going to be it is, but we have to keep our focus on what the word of the Lord is. And so where did Tom go? Okay, well, Pastor Jake is in Children's Church today, so I think Pastor Tom has the word of the Lord today, so I'll let him take up the offering and speak forth here. Let's give an honor to Tom. It says to give honor, because if you give honor, you'll receive the honor of the prophet or the pastor. You'll receive honor. Honor is huge, guys. So we honor you, Tom. Come on, give him a clap offering. Come on.
Hallelujah. Through prayer to give this morning, I want to finish that story. Jehoshaphat, as they began to sing praises to the Lord, we can bring the offering baskets up, Jeff. The Lord set ambushes against the enemy of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who invaded Judah, and they were defeated. The Amorites and the Moabites rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and alienated them. So they were fighting against each other. And after they had finished slaughtering the men, they helped to destroy one another. So when the men of Judah came to the place and overlooked the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder. And they found among them great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley and they praised the Lord. This is why it's called the Valley of Berkah. So right now, Father God, I believe there's just a stand, as Abraham was talking about, as an army, we're standing together as one, Lord Jesus. And we're singing praises as we sing this song. We sing praises to God. And the enemy destroys itself. And the plunder is ours. The healing belongs to us. The healing belongs to us. Restoration is ours. Hallelujah. The kingdom of heaven belongs to us. And we open it up in our praises. It's a giving praises to God. And that's what they sang. And they gave thanks. And they worshiped to the Lord. For his love endures forever. Go ahead and bring your offerings as we worship this morning. Father, we thank you for your spirit this morning. So much has already happened and continues to happen in the spirit. It's so valuable that whatever we came expecting or ever thought, Lord, you showed up. God, that you have what we need, that you want to direct us by your spirit right now in the moment that we live, to breathe in life to where things were dormant, Lord, to reveal to us our true identity as sons and daughters, and that we are not alone, but God, you go before us. You make a way, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Worship team, praise the Lord. Gets us in. Gets us in there. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. Man, I've been, this week, it's been quite a week in the world that we live in. And I was like, man, Lord, I want to start with Colossians 2. And I began just meditating on some of the things that have been going on. And I believe the Lord has something to say in every situation that we're in. And I love what Graham Cook says. He says, who can God be for us now when this and this is going on? Because there's something going on, and God, there is no lack in him. He supplies all our needs. So what is it that he wants to reveal to us now? So in Colossians 2:6, it says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Say, in him. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. What were we just singing? That story in the Old Testament, they were going out and they were being thankful, right? They were giving thanks to the Lord. Even before the battle was won, they were giving thanks to the Lord. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the element of spiritual forces of this world rather than in Christ. And here's what I was watching. I was watching a spiritual force take people captive. I was watching a spiritual force take people captive in this world. And it was like the armies. When the armies got turned loose, they literally began to devour one another in confusion. They were destroying one another. And what I'm witnessing right now is that whether you're Republican, Democrat, all that stuff, that nature destroys one another. And what it left, and it broke my heart. I was watching hurting people hurt people. They were hurting. And it was like, man, Lord, these people need you. Because no matter what the verdict is, the hurt's not going to go away. the healing is not going to come. The law didn't bring salvation. Law didn't bring healing. It was tough. So there they were. And the thing that moved me, and I don't know if you guys watched any of it, but the one judge, as he was addressing the accuser, he said they were up that night, and one of his daughters said, we should pray for her. Come on. We should pray for her. And something changed when he said that in my spirit. And my spirit was like, man, that's it, America. That's it. When David prayed for his enemies, he didn't just say, you know, help that person stop being bad. You know, help that person be nice to me. Help that person stop being such a jerk. Literally, his heart broke for his enemies. They said he put on, what, sackcloth and ashes, and he just heart broke. And my heart began to break for everyone. Come on. For the whole thing. He said, that world, see that no one takes you captive through deceptive philosophy. When you get caught up on that, you get taken captive by that whole thing. It takes you captive. You get locked up in it. You get worked up. Come on, you get worked up. You have that expectation and that thing that goes, it depends on human traditions and the element of spiritual forces rather than on Christ. For in Christ, verse 9, all the fullness, say all. It's not a partial thing. Everything is there. The fullness lives in body form. In Christ, you have been brought to fullness. You are at fullness now. Come on, that's our identity. You are at fullness now. He is the head of over every power and authority. What is he establishing? Come on, if God is for us, who can be against us? In him, you were circumcised. That means it's done. Not performed by human hands. The whole self was ruled by the flesh, was put off. It's been cut off when you circumcised with Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. We've been talking about baptism. We've been talking about being born again. Was put off. In which you were also raised with him. Praise God. Come on. I saw people who needed a new life. Who needed things to just die. We know it's true 30, 40 years ago. Isn't that a shame that what happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago, to this day is relived over and over and over again? And I can't live like that. There's no life there. There is no life there. And my heart began to break because that woman needed life. She needs life. No matter what had truly happened, she needs a new life, and it hurts. And he said, guess what? That was put off and raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and circumcised your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. This is the good news of the gospel. That even when I was dead in my sins, God came and made me alive in Christ. In him we now have the fullness and the completeness. No lack. No lack of power. No lack of authority. All had been given us. He forgave us all our sins. Say all. It's all. It had been canceled. The charge of legal debts which was stood against us and condemned us was ripped away. I couldn't imagine all the garbage from 30 years ago, whether I did or did not do that, being held around my neck. Could you live with 30 years of people holding this against you, saying, This is what you did, therefore you are unfit. You are unworthy. How could you live like that? And God knew we couldn't live like that. Even though we're sinful without Christ, man, we're a mess. And that's what I was witnessing. I witnessed a mess. But that's not who we are. We don't have to carry that anymore. That's what he's saying here. He said all of that. He said he forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge and the legal debts. And everything that stood against us, he had taken it away. Say, take it away. He took it away, and he nailed it to the cross. It's finished. And he what? Disarmed the powers and the authorities. Everything. Every power and every authority, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them on the cross. Every single, why is Paul saying this? Because sometimes we live like that still has power over us. Sometimes we live like that still has authority over us. Sometimes we live like we are condemned, but you're not. It said all of it was nailed to the cross. And when I was witnessing that, I was witnessing the spectacle and the spirit of this world that was deceptive and the traditions that was literally trying to grab someone and hold them captive. To hold them captive, say, you are not worthy. Come on, nobody in this room would want to go back 30 years and deal with that. I couldn't handle that, Lord. And that's what we're talking about, the love that is so great. Graham Cook says it this way. He loves us because why? Because he loves us because why? Because he loves us. It disarmed all of my performances. It disarmed all of my failures. It disarmed all my faults. Didn't change a thing. He's relentless, and he can be relentless. And he doesn't have to, we don't have to worry about punishment. We don't have to worry about the legal ramifications of all our failures because he took that and he put it to the cross. Why did he do that? Because we can't live that way. I was working with the kids back there, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about work. I said, you were made to run on the Holy Spirit. You were made to run with Jesus. Come on. That's why the whole part we were talking about, being in him. I was made. I am made to run with him. I'm Christ in me, the hope of glory. All that stuff in me, right? In me. So this week, as I began to just, it was just so much information coming into my mind. And work and things were just all coming into my mind. And I really felt the Holy Spirit was just saying, come into my world. You know? Get out of this world's thoughts towards everything and come into my world about you. Come into my world about perspective about these people and what's really going on. Because that, like that little girl said, it brought me that scripture, if my people, come on, you know this scripture, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Turn. Look. I will heal their land. And what I saw was a lot of healing needing to happen in this land. Places where they would use things against each other. It was destructive and it was destroying everybody. I said, Lord, we need a healing in our land. And he said, I felt like the Spirit was saying, come into my world. Come into my world where I sent my son, Jesus Christ. Despite whatever choices you make, despite whatever you deserve, he loved you so much to take every punishment. He was the guy sitting before everybody in the commission getting accused of all the things. He was accused and he took the punishment for everything. My heart sank because I was thinking about my sons and daughters. I was thinking about if they got a letter. What if you got a letter? What if you got a letter? The letter I'm talking about is the letter of accusation, where the accuser of the brethren comes and he starts accusing you of something. And you go before the judge and you have to defend yourself. My heart broke. I said, God, we can't do this to each other. We can't do this to each other. And he didn't want us to. That's why he wrote this. He said, I took everything. We don't have to run to the judge. We don't have to go through that way anymore. We could find forgiveness on the cross. We could find healing on the cross. We could find once and for all those things that were set against all these people that kept them are broken and the chains are broken forever on the cross. That means I can run to that. Are we talking about the love of God? Really? We're talking about the love of God that casts out all fear. We're talking about that which floods us. That's the world that the Holy Spirit lives in. That's the world where the relentless love tracks us down. I didn't find peace in the Vikings game. I didn't find peace in watching that whole situation roll out. But when that guy said, my daughter prayed for her, I found something there. That's what I found. I said, that's the answer right there. This little girl said, we need to pray for her. And he probably, you know, how we'll sit as adults, you know, we'll sit down and we'll write 10 pages of trying to defend myself. I'll write 20 accusations against that person. Hey, I'm a good person. You know, you just, your mind goes, right? But she said, we need to pray for her. We need to pray for her. Man, my heart goes, man, we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leaders, Democrat, Republican, whatever it is. We need to pray for each other. And just standing here this morning as we were locking arms, we need to pray for each other. Come on, we need to pray for each other. Because all those things are just dead. When he talked about the Spirit and those things, they're dead. John, 1 John 4, verse 13. It is a strategy of the enemy to keep you thinking that you, we talk to an old man, but that you have to earn his love. That you have to earn it. That you, if you do something wrong, you're out. I grew up in a Christian home for a long time, and man, I don't know. I hadn't encountered the love of God to the dimension where I thought I deserved it. Because there was days where I thought, man, I don't deserve God. And in my thought, what I thought then, if I did something wrong, then God couldn't be close to me, and I was alone. And I had to pray, and I had to repent and get forgiveness in order for God to find me again. And I thought I was alone. But the whole time, he was always there. But because I believed that, I lived in fear. Because I believed that, I lived in fear. I believed that God, I got born again, yeah, it was a gift, but he just said to walk in that. Continue to live your lives. And I was on that concept. I had shifted to say, you know what? Because I was did this, God, you have separated from me. And that was really scary. And that's where the fear came from, because I thought I was in danger. When things, the Moabites represent an external force. An external force putting pressure on us. There's external forces constantly going on in this world. But we have to be mindful of our internal force. When there's 105 pounds of pressure being pushed on you outside, there's 106 pounds of the Holy Spirit just ready to hold your ground and stand. Because he says he's the fullness and the complete work. Right now there's pressure of whatever it is coming against you. There's more than enough of the Holy Spirit inside of you to meet that pressure. Come on, how many here can testify of that this morning? Come on, we need to pray. That little girl again, we need to pray. When's the last time you prayed for that person or that situation? And just honestly, like David said, you know what, my heart's breaking because I'm seeing that. 1 John 4:13, this is how we know we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. Come on. So when I'm out there on the job and I'm watching the news and the Vikings lose their game, my world doesn't crumble. Come on, it doesn't. Because someone says, let's pray, and it changes the game. You become a game changer because you're reaching down with what's inside of you and who you really are, and you're identifying that and you're meeting that. And we have seen and testified the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Come on. And so we know that we really rely on the love of God that he has for us. Verse 16, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. When you can look at a situation and not get caught up in all of the words and the arguments, but honestly see people for where they're at and realize that every single one of us need Christ, then you can pray with power and authority. Come on. Not the prayer of, please change that person right now. But honestly, you put on the ashes like David did, and you begin to earnestly pray for that person. And I was feeling that when that guy said that with that kid. I just said, man, we need to pray that we have confidence. This is how love is made complete. Say complete. Among us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. What did Jesus do? Come on, talk about a guy that was wrongly accused. Talk about a man who was wrongly accused, who didn't deserve what he got. Yet, how did he live? Come on. He lived on the life that the Father gave him, the love of God, that he said, I live to fulfill that which God has called me to do. It brought him life. It brought him life. And that's what we're facing right now. It's like those things that we can get caught up on, you know they're dead. The strategy of the enemy is to suck you in and become captive to these things. But the life of God that naturally flows through every believer comes from the Holy Spirit. And in those situations, you got to ask yourself, God, what do you have to say here? What do you think about this? You ask the Holy Spirit, what are you thinking about this person? Because I have my own thoughts. I have the old thoughts of the philosophy of the world. But that's not what you see. And I can't live on those other thoughts. It doesn't work. It's maddening, Frank. Doesn't it drive you crazy? And you get caught up in it. And you got to go, hey, like, listen, this is how love is. We are like Jesus. And there's no fear in love. Come on. No more fear. I love that song, Fear is a Liar. Say, fear is a liar. But perfect love drives out all fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. I saw a man up there fighting for his family and his life because the world was ready to punish him. The accuser can't wait to get a hold of them because he wants you to be afraid of your punishment. But when you realize the work of the cross, when you realize what that completed on the cross, when you realize that everything that was set against us was nailed to the cross, that we are no longer condemned, there is no, therefore no more condemnation in Christ Jesus because he completed the work. All those things that were mandatory set against us have been wiped away. Now I can walk a life that is totally free from punishment. I don't have to be afraid to be punished. I'm unpunishable. You can't punish me. God can't punish me. Do you believe that? And that's the biggest thing, is I don't believe that. I was afraid at night because I was afraid that God could punish me, or he wanted to punish me. Because I had been separated from God. Because I did something wrong. That's what I believed. And that's what brought the fear in. But even if you did something wrong, that doesn't change who you are. It doesn't change who God is for you. Because he took the punishment to the cross. What he's so excited about you, Tom, he says, listen, Tom, Abraham, I know who you really are. And I know the only thing in this situation that you got your finger on right now that is causing you fear is that you have lacked me and you're teaming up in this spot of your life right now where you don't have to be afraid in that area. Because I've already won that fight. I already went and I stood before the whole council and I took the blame and I took the shame. You don't have to. Come on, it's done. And when we know that in our spirit, something leaps. And we don't look at people like that anymore. We look at people through different eyes. We're not afraid of punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Guess what? If I have a fear, don't be afraid. God's not done with us yet. He wants to show himself mighty and awesome in that area. He says, I'm not going to, you don't have to be afraid. I'm going to fight your battle here. I want to team up with you in this area of your life where fear has been trying to come in. And you can find the perfect love of God. It's going to cast it out. Come on. Made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever comes to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have not seen cannot love God. What does this mean when fear comes? I'm believing a lie. I'm believing a lie about myself. Come on. My reflection towards my brother and sister is only a reflection of my relationship with the Lord and what I think I am. If I'm struggling here, that means I've been struggling here in my own identity. Because I'm telling you what, when I struggle in forgiveness, and this is my personal place, God reminded me, he said, were you any better? And that hit me. That hit me right away. He said, were you any better? I said, no. That was done. That was it for me. Because I found a new place in him. And it's a humbling place that I didn't deserve it. And this isn't about deserving. You know, the law comes and says, you're done. But when Christ comes in your love, he says, I have paid for that price so now that you could live. Right now in our country, people need to live. They don't need to know that they're wrong. They're already convicted that something's wrong. But they need to know how to live. Someone's got to tell them, how did you find it, Abraham? How did you find it, Frank? Frank, Tom, you guys knew you were in trouble. I knew I was in trouble. I knew I needed something. I needed to grab a hold of something. Who's going to tell him? I want you to tell you my story. I want to tell you my story. When I was up at night afraid of situations in this, and I couldn't handle it anymore, Frank. I just couldn't. I was trying to. I was trying to earn my way, Frank, and I remembered. Are we having a conversation? Okay. I just remember saying, God, I need you. And it wasn't the words, guys. It's not the words. It's our heart. As we were singing that song, our heart was opening up again to this place. And I became overwhelmed with everything. And I like to think I'm a hard worker. I'm a smart guy. But I don't think anybody's strong enough or smart enough to get through this world without Christ. Because it just overwhelms me. And I said, God, whatever you want, I need you. And I remember a peace like a flood. It's like my heart opened up, and I felt the flood. I said, oh, that's what I need, Lord. And I kept working. I kept doing. A lot of situations changed right away, but I walk with the peace of God and the joy of the Lord, knowing my God is fighting my battles and that he was here with me. That battle in my heart was changed. Come on. God made him who is no sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. The saddest thing for any Christian is to live a life beneath his privilege. That the very fact that everything that he made available to us, that we are not taking advantage of because of what we believe. Let's stand this morning. Man, this has been a great Sunday morning service. Everything was pretty much preached before I got up here, so I was like, wow, Lord, you have us on the same place. As Katie was talking about prayer this morning, if anybody wants prayer, and when we talk about prayer, I just feel in the Spirit of God that there's just some things that just move inside of us that we just go, okay, I need to make a statement in my heart because I want something that is gone. And when I saw everybody latching arms, I really saw everybody just saying, you know what, there's nobody better. Wasn't any better. I needed that too. I needed a Frank and Deb praying for me and Jen when we went through what we did. I needed a community church to gather around my family and just love on us. Jen and I have been through a lot of difficult situations, that there's a family who loved us regardless and stood with us. But that is a demonstration of who God really is. That despite my shortcomings and failures, and my wife knows, and people know that stuff, but they don't stop loving you, and that's what sets us free. It sets me free from trying to be something that I'm not, and it sets me free to discover who I really am. So that's got a people that say, you know what, I was no better, and I know the struggles. I know the battle belongs to the Lord, and you're going to be okay. Because our Creator God has made a way. And He wants to reveal to you right now in your place who you two are together. Christ in you, and you are always the majority. Christ in you, and you is always the majority. So no matter what is going on right now, whether it has to do with your future, I'm telling you, God has a brilliant future for your life. Right now, it's the battle. Whatever battle it is, God has the valley and the enemy ready to be ambushed. Hallelujah. Because the army of the Lord of heaven's army is by your side. What is missing in my experience from this all-loving God? When you're in that place, you say, okay, God, I need you here. I'm overwhelmed by what I see and what I feel. How many here have been through that? Come on. And you stand with your brothers and sisters, and you know that a God who didn't withhold anything, come on, He didn't hold back one thing. He didn't hold back one thing. That we couldn't do that to each other. We couldn't hold back. Because we received the fullness, Lord. So thank you, Father God. So you're next to someone right now, Father God. I believe this is a move of the body. This is not just one person here. This is all of us. I really feel like we're all in this together. Not just as this body here, but as a church, as a nation of believers, as a body that surpasses the nations. That God is raising up a people who are beginning to pray for healing in their land. That people's lives are actually going to be the demonstration of God's glory on the earth. And there are men and women rising up saying, yes, you can take my life and you can make it a light on this world. And if you want to set me on a hill, set me on the hill. If you want me on the front line, put me on the front line. If you want to use my testimony and you want to use my life, use it, God. Because I know you love me, because you love me, because you love me, because you love me, and with me and you, that's all I need. Come on. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, for your presence here this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that, man, in the spirit right now. I just feel like I'm not going back to anything else. Some of you right now, I felt like a weight just blew off you. That you're okay. You know what, kid? You're all right. No shame, no blame. I got this. He got this. He got all of this. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Just raise your hands. Father, we thank you. As they sang out and they went out, they sang praises and thanksgiving to the Lord. Let's thank Him today. We just thank you, Father. We thank you so much. Pouring out your love through your spirit in us right now. You're all right. You're making it. Come on. You're doing it. He's here. Hope restored. No more hope deferred. Eternal hope. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.